You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Beards, what kind of cuddler are you? Are you a big spoon, little spoon? Are you an aggressive cuddler? Do you
aggressive cuddler?
Do you have disdain for human touch?
I don't know what an aggressive cuddler is.
You're looking at one right now, I'll tell you that.
It sounds like someone who needs an attorney, honestly. I don't think that's something you want to be.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Listen, I'll cop to this on a public setting right now. I am an aggressive cuddler in a consensual sense.
Comma, officer.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I don't know if Seth Kizer is aware of the change in relationship status for one Beards McFly. I think Seth saw this update on Twitter here or there. So not to start off a conversation with Seth by interviewing Beards, but Beards, do you have any update on how aggressive of a cuddler you are?
No.
Seth's on the line. You can go ahead and turn Seth up. Seth, you're on.
I heard the sound. I figured I would just continue to stay silent so I'm not somehow complicit in an aggressive cuddling case.
So what is Beards, what's your report back? What has this last couple of weeks taught you about yourself? He's coughing. Coughing is not an answer.
I don't know. I don't have an answer.
You're a coward.
I know.
You're just a coward. It's been a while since we talked to Seth, and by a while, I mean like 2 weeks, but whenever it's, you know, the frequency that we had for a while, I'm afraid that maybe someone got worried that Seth died, and actually it was just at The Athletic, and making making content for paying customers, damn it. Which you leeches aren't. I mean, no one's paying me anything. I just keep showing up, and Beards and I keep coming to the studio and just turning all the microphones on, and then no one stops us, and so we make a free show for free, and it's not sustainable as a business model.
Yeah, that sounds more like your problem than the people who are listening.
No, it absolutely is. I should pick my spots. Seth, there's a question that we've actually been meaning to ask you for like weeks, and the last three or four times we've gotten sidetracked somewhere. I don't know what your stance is on giving your kids' names out on radio and everything, but I don't need your specifics necessarily, at least not yet.
I don't care.
Okay, well, there's so many that we only have like 30 minutes, and I don't know if you can get through them all that quickly.
That's true. Yeah, I was gonna say you might need to do another 7-hour segment if we're gonna talk about my kids, because there's a certain amount of time involved in naming 78 kids.
But so there is there's a question that I'm afraid to hear the answer for. Do all of your kids have the same first letter?
No, actually. let me think. Do any of them? Tucker, Mason, Cole, Isabel, and Lucas.
Okay, there's another curveball in there. That's great. So that's fantastic. There's another curveball in there, which is, I think that for the most part, there's a dichotomy expected of either alliterative names or biblical names. And have you avoided both of those? Is there a Tucker in the Bible I don't know about?
Not on purpose. Maybe. I don't know. But we go there. Like, Isabel's middle name is Grace. Lucas's middle name is Elijah, and so we have some of those. But just for whatever reason, we were just kind of more like fly by the seat of your pants. Hey, I'm holding this kid. She feels like an Isabel. And we actually had her name was picked out as Liliana, and then Jazz, you know, birthed her, as it were.
Uh-huh.
And she was holding her, and I was like, we told everyone we were going to name her Liliana like 2 months earlier. And Jazz was like, that's not her name. And I was like, okay, because you don't, free advice, you're too young to have to worry about this yet, but don't argue with a woman who just gave birth.
No kidding.
Insanity. And so I was like, okay, well, that sounds good. And so we ended up naming her Isabel because that was kind of our backup name, which I don't know why we had a backup name. But, and then, so it was funny, my dad comes in and holds her for the first time. He's like, oh, hi, Lily. And I was like, actually, that's not her name. And he looks at me, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what you want from me. And he goes, wow, well, some girl out there named Liliana has received more prayers than she could possibly ever need. and so Liliana, wherever you are, you're probably only like five, so you don't know. But, you know, you're welcome for all the all the benefits he received from that.
There is going to be a President Liliana like 40 years from now.
Well, that's better than my daughter being president, let me tell you right now, because the rest of the world would be in trouble. It would be a wasteland.
It would turn into Mad Max at the hands of your...
Oh, my goodness. Oh, it absolutely would. She would be like the... And she wouldn't be like that ruler that would, like, you know, condemn people to death from afar. She'd do it by hand. She would be that big boss that actually comes in at the end. And I love my daughter. She's my only daughter. And it's not like she's a bad person. She's just a little bit evil. That's all. Just a little. And it's just true. Most five-year-old girls are a little evil.
For
but
sure.
I love her, and she's great, and she's cute, and she's sweet. She's just a little evil. That's all.
This is good. I like how we're breaking some gender stereotypes also, that of your 37 children, the one daughter is the one that you have made, you have named most likely to rule with an iron fist, not from afar, but with the axe and gavel in each hand.
Look, man, if I threw all five of my kids into the Thunderdome and said one of you's coming out alive, like, I would never do that, just to be clear. But if I did that, she would be the one to emerge. And her older brothers are 12, 10, and 7.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, she is the one who would emerge victorious. She would be draped in the blood of her enemies. And that's just the truth about my daughter. I plan on putting that on her next birthday party.
Her next birthday party theme is going to be survival.
Yeah.
It's everybody gets a little party favor bag on the way out, and it's like a tooth from one of her brothers that she pulled out with her bare hands.
Absolutely. It'll be great. It'll be great.
She wears it as a necklace.
But no, my children don't have biblical names. We don't have any rhyme or reason. By the time you get to your fifth kid, you're kind of just surviving, and
right.
So you just name them whatever. It's like the first sound you make when they hand the baby to you.
Because at that point, of course, like, there are no more baby book readings. So they just, pop. Here, I imagine pop is the sound. Pop, here's a baby. Frank. Okay, great. Okay, our kid's name is Frank, I guess.
Exactly. That's exactly what happens.
That's so good. Well, listen, if you're in a pinch for whatever your next few kids are, Beards is a name that you could name a child.
You know what? That's not bad.
It's
although they're going to have my genetics, and I'm still incapable of growing a beard. So I'm guessing they will be too. So that seems like a cruel trick.
Yeah, that would be bad. It would like like me being born and then being named like 6'2" would have really been something for me to get over.
6 foot. What kind of name is that? Oh, what time is it?
We're good. We have all the time in the world. I know that. Listen, and we're not even back from the commercial break yet, right, Beards? We were just talking before. All right, commercial just ended.
We've been off the air all day.
Oh, fantastic! They finally got on to us.
Kansas City had enough of you.
Yeah,
after your 7-hour segment.
Yes, it was finally enough. Okay, well, I feel good about you not having kid of the alliterative names, just because, like, and especially when maybe this is something that is synonymous with, you know, kind of families in and around the church, or maybe that's just because of like big families. But man,
Sure. Families
that name all their kids like, you know, we have Caden and Krista and Kristen and Kristall and Christofferson.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Jonathan, Jordan, Joey, Jacob. You know. Yeah, those are all kids that I led in the youth group because they all had
the. Right.
I mean, that's how they do that.
And those families are just a little bit off, right? Like, is that fair?
I don't want to say yes.
You said yes. You said yes because you did not say no. You didn't get anywhere close to saying no.
Oh, that's, you know, that's, I don't know if that's the right way to think of yes versus no. But
dang it! Dang it! Dang it! Dang it! I walk into these pits of lava. All right, here, Seth, let's do something that's really going to lift everybody's spirits. I read every syllable of your your D. Ford film review, and I want to walk into a pit of lava now.
Oh.
It wasn't.
I talked about the positives too.
Okay, but here's the thing. And so also, I'm imagining that most people listening now know Seth and his film reviews and have heard you on this show before, all of that. And if you haven't, let me say this. Seth does tremendous film review work And he also does a tremendous job of giving it to fellow Chiefs fans that want to grab onto the positive things and acknowledges the negative. Seth doesn't sugarcoat things necessarily, but I usually leave the film reviews that you write, Seth, feeling good about what's about to happen, feeling good about the play or whatever. I read this Dee Ford one, and seeing you be as negative as you were made me think that during this offseason, he actually had both of his legs amputated and that he's going to be playing exclusively with his hands and a torso. That's what I left feeling like.
Which, I mean, you never know. I mean, he might bend around the edge a little bit better.
Yes, there it is!
So, look, here's the thing with Ford. He's had productive seasons. Well, he's had a productive season.
Uh-huh.
He's not a terrible player. It's just he has some very specific weaknesses. He's really bad on play side runs because he's not strong enough. He doesn't have a lot of variety in his pass rush game, at least that I'm seeing. And again, you never know. Some players are late bloomers, and I always try to lead with that. You never know. He's got all the physical talent in the world. But as I watched him, like, I mean, if you go back and you watch, say, like last year, probably the best pair of offensive tackles they played would have been against the Eagles, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got Peters and Lane Johnson. And you said you read it. I mean, it was pretty rough. Like,
yeah.
If you ever want to really take a look at the incredible difference between Ford and Houston
mm-hmm.
as pass rushers
mm-hmm.
and run defenders, you turn on that game and watch them play elite competition. Houston gives as good as he gets against those guys. He holds his own. And I would say probably got the better of the matchup. And those are great players.
Yep.
Whereas Ford, I mean, he had a really rough day that day. It was pretty bad. And so, you know, Terrez Paylor always says the contract year is undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if Ford's healthy, and that's the big caveat there, because I think his back has been bothering him, and he's so dependent on his explosion that it's just tough for him because, again, I've talked to you about this, he can't bend around the edge. He doesn't have the ankle and hip flexibility to do it. And so he has to get such a great jump at the line to be able to turn the corner
mm-hmm.
that he has to be completely 100% healthy. And if he is, which I guess he was held out of practice today, so that's not encouraging.
Mm-mm.
But if he is healthy, I think he'll have an okay year. I think people will be pleasantly surprised because he should be better than what they had there last year.
Right.
That's something, right?
Sure. But they also, like, I think at this point, if he's great this year, I would have a 0% interest in re-signing him next year, not only because they've invested in Speaks and Passanio, but also because, like, having one great year in a contract year with all the things we've already seen from him makes me terrified of a long-term investment there. But even beyond that, let's stick on the bend thing for a second, because you've talked about it some, and really, if you're not subscribing to The Athletic, you should go do it. And listen, this is like a little workaround. I think Rustin Dodd just tweeted about a discount through like their baseball writing right now. Go look at that if you are worried about the price tag. But because it's never been more evident for me than in this specific review that you did, because it's juxtaposed with Justin Houston doing it well, and you can see Dee Ford trying to get around the corner, and a couple times trying to like run a little half circle instead of actually just trying to bend, because the flexibility is just not there. And it is so discouraging because it is so evident.
There's a great ad for The Athletic right there. With The Athletic, it's super discouraging.
About Dee Ford. It's discouraging about Dee Ford. But yeah, sure, promo
right,
cut.
Right. It's a little more encouraging about other guys. I write lots of nice things about other players.
No, that's true. And we'll get to your glistening review on Eric Fisher in a minute.
But yeah, Dee Ford, the one thing about him is that his presence means that Passanio or Speaks, they're going to have to play at least an okay level
mm-hmm.
to beat him out. And so that's something, but honestly, I just didn't see a lot last year that was particularly encouraging. On the flip side, 2016, he did play better than he did in 2017. So maybe there's some hope. I just see some real genuine flaws. Like what you described, the half circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most Chiefs fans watched enough Derek Thomas to understand what bend around the edge is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that ability to get your pads low and beneath the pads of the offensive lineman. You see it with Von Miller. You saw it with Derek Thomas. Get at that 45-degree angle and just kind of run in a circle with your body staying in place. I mean, that's really it.
Yeah.
It's the fastest way to get to the quarterback. What he has to do instead is like stop and turn his whole body and run away and, you know, stay completely upright, which allows offensive tackles to just shove him upfield over and over and over again. And, yes, against the Eagles, it was super depressing. He had more luck in some other games, but really for him, he is dependent on facing average to sub-average competition. At least he was last year.
And the thing with that is it's not that there's no hope. You've been open on that. Maybe there's hope with this or that. But there aren't results, and I don't think there are really, like, actual reasons to be terribly optimistic. There's not evidence for optimism. This is a little bit different, but is it fair to say also that Breland Speaks and Tano Passanio also have a little bit of concern about if they're able to bend around that corner?
I see more bend in both Speaks and Passanio than I do in Ford.
Great.
Here's the funny thing, because they're both much bigger than him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be clear, neither of them has his explosion off the line.
Sure,
Ford has incredible first step, but both of them have shown ability to have a little bit of lean around the edge,
right?
Which is impressive at their size.
So, give me a few quick answers here on D4, because I do want to get to your Mahomes beyond the arm stuff, the slow the hype, what could go wrong, and Eric Fisher, and even I have a question on the Hail Mary. Let's kind of rapid fire through a couple things.
I've written a lot since last.
You've written so many things. The run defense, it is as bad as we think, right? Is it worse than we think? Is it just merely as bad as we think?
It's as bad as you think, and maybe a little bit worse, unless you're super down on him. When he's not on the play side, his pursuit is really good. But when he gets run at, it's almost always bad. I would say if I were a team, I'd run at him over and over again until the Chiefs scheme to stop it.
Where did he compare to your other recent pass rushing breakdowns from the Chiefs over the last couple of years?
This last one was it was worse than Tamba Hali's 2016. It was worse than Tano's limited film in 2017. I'm only partway through Justin Houston's, but it's significantly worse than his. It was worse than D4's 2016. It was pretty rough. It was pretty rough.
I think at this point it's been established that it's the worst you've looked at that's not Frank Zombo based.
That would be a pretty fair assessment, yeah.
Awesome. Very good. You did have an addition in the comment section of that about D4 in coverage. And it sounds like that's something that he's comfortable doing. If I had to invent a positive takeaway from this, maybe a healthy D4 allows Bob Sutton, and there's actually a story about what the Chiefs are doing with their outside linebackers this year and trying to find more good matchups and everything that came out just today. But maybe that allows Sutton to put Ford into coverage a little more and then to not be doing that with Justin Houston as often. I don't know. I got nothing.
That would be the hope, but the problem with that is, and Sutton actually touched on this a little bit last year, because of the type of defenses they're lining up, sometimes how the opposing offense lines up dictates who drops into coverage, which is not, in my opinion, where you want to be. But maybe that's the hope. Let's hope they go that direction, because he's very capable in coverage. He's such an athlete.
All right, last thing on D Ford, is he, how many games did he start? Let's say not about injuries, how many games does D Ford start this year?
This year?
If he stays reasonably healthy.
I think he starts the whole season. Okay. I really do.
My hope is that...
And that's just, you know, Speaks, I'm not overwhelmed with him. I hope I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And Passanio just has a lot to prove, so I think it's going to end up being Ford by default. And I do think he'll help with the pass rush.
It's just, that was tough. Let's go to Eric Fisher. I said this a couple days ago, actually, that I think the two probably most dumbly discussed players on this roster are D Ford and Eric Fisher, and you're trying to help us on both of those. What did you see in your Eric Fisher review?
You know, I've reviewed Eric Fisher's film every year of his career, and during that time, you know, I've refined my process and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He did take a small step back last season. In terms of loss percentage, which I've talked about, I think, with you before on air, you know, how often he loses. And that's the money shot for offensive linemen. He took a small step backwards, but not as much as you'd think. He was still below that 10% threshold that I look for. He did have one really bad game of the ones I reviewed where Khalil Mack just destroyed him. It was rough. Now, Khalil Mack's a really tough assignment.
Yeah, that doesn't make me want to barf. Like, it's not great. But.
Right. You remember, now, you know, sometimes I forget how young you are, but you know, in Rocky III, when Clubber Lang says he's tailor-made for me, that's like Eric Fisher's like tailor-made for Khalil Mack. His specific weaknesses go right along with Khalil Mack's strengths.
What's a Rocky?
Oh, stop it. Anyway, the takeaway with him, he's really comfortable in certain sets, mm-hmm. like jump sets and quicker sets, and I'm not going to get in all the different sets and offensive tackles sure. to take because that gets boring.
Yeah.
But when he is the aggressor, is how I'll phrase it, when he's the aggressor, he gets his hands on first and he's attacking in pass protection, he has some dominant snaps. I mean, he played a heck of a game against the Chargers, and he was matched up against Ingram and Bosa all day.
Mm-hmm.
He did really well. And so it's not just, he can't play well against good players. It just seems to depend on what he's asked to do. When he's asked to more catch, which is it's a technique where you basically let them make first contact,
mm-hmm.
and you reset and use your hand placement and leverage to win. He's just not very good at that, from what I'm seeing.
Is that something that gets solved by coaching and trying to use him for his strengths, or are his strengths and weaknesses something that they have to play in spite of?
You know, I would say at this point, you want to obviously play to someone's strengths. I would like to think that he could continue to develop and
mm-hmm.
continue to do better. But, I mean, at this point, he was drafted in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, he kind of is what he is.
Yep.
He just his hand usage and his hand fighting isn't quite what I'd like, and he's just not a really strong player. Now, he's no longer a weak offensive tackle like he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's really worked on getting his hips low. He's really worked on resetting. He's not weak, but he just has what I'd call average strength. And so that makes it tough when you got to have everything perfect
right.
when you're facing a good power rusher like, say, a Khalil Mack. You got to have everything perfect if you want to win if you're not naturally strong. And he just doesn't quite often enough. But the overall watch, after reviewing him, I walked away happier than I was after the season ended. And that's what happens to me every time with Fisher the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I walk out of the season saying, I don't know how well he played. And then when I actually tally it and I look at win percentage and loss percentage and all that, he does a competent job, even a little better than competent. He's pretty good. It's just when he does lose, it is bad.
It's bad. Mm-hmm.
And that's a bit of a problem.
So as simply as it can be, in your opinion, what is Eric Fisher at this point?
He's a pretty good left tackle.
I can live with that. I monologued on this longer than I'll give it to you here. But my philosophy on quarterbacks, as you know, is very much get an elite one or get a value at one or go try to find one of those two things.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself not taking that same posture with offensive linemen, especially whenever you have one of those quarterbacks back behind them.
Right.
I'm willing to overpay Eric Fisher than to try to make Cameron Irving the guy that is protecting Patrick Mahomes' blind side. Maybe I'm trying to rationalize, but
sure.
What do you think about that as far as a philosophy of not being terribly worried about overpaying Eric Fisher while you're trying to get the best that you can out of Patrick Mahomes in his rookie contract?
I'm not too worried about it because when you look, so this year, Eric Fisher is the third highest paid left tackle in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But next year, he drops to, I believe it's seventh. And then the year after that, he drops to 10th. And that's without anyone signing new deals.
Right, which will happen.
Because
yep.
eventually some deal is going to knock that. So by the time, you know, you enter, because this is, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, this year and next year are the 2 years he's a little over $13
million. Yeah, that's
then
about
after
right.
that, it drops down to like 12 and then 11.5. And because the salary cap is going to keep going up, because the NFL makes gobs of money,
mm-hmm.
the percentage of the salary cap he takes up is just going to keep shrinking.
Yep.
So I'm not thrilled with his contract. I think, especially with the timing of it, because really, I mean, he wasn't coming off a great year when they did it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think the contract will be okay. It's not one I'm great with. I wish they would have done it a little bit differently, but I'm okay with it. Like you said, overpaying for an okay left tackle, a pretty good left tackle, there are a lot of really bad left tackles.
Right.
And that kind of raises the premium. It's hard to find decent offensive linemen anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, quickly on your Hail Mary thing again on The Athletic. Seth wrote about the Hail Mary play against the Cowboys. It was honestly, I don't know if this is a real backhanded compliment, but that was a more interesting breakdown than I thought it was going to be. I was like, oh, it was one play. I don't know, but like it really was interesting. My only question is, why didn't we see that again, or did we see them try to do that again and just missed it?
Well, the problem with that specific play, and I'm going to do a quick plug. You know, yeah. What you're talking about is the Anatomy of a Play weekly series that I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
where every week on a Monday, I'm going to break down one play into very specific detail. There, okay, I'm done with the plug.
No, please, plug away.
This was the Hail Mary. Well, and because what I love about football, and I've told you this before, mm-hmm. it's like you're in a room full of levers, and when you pull one lever, it pulls like 15 other levers.
Right.
And you don't always know which ones.
Right.
And it's just so much more intricate and complicated and beautiful than people think it is. That's why I'm passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the Hail Mary play, the reason why you didn't see that again is because that kind of play, it's essentially just a downfield screen.
Right.
Now, you see some of those, but downfield screens are dictated by the coverage. And so you're just never going to see coverage where you have seven guys 40 yards off the line of scrimmage.
I see. Okay. Right? Yeah, sure. Of course.
Because otherwise what would happen is as soon as Hill caught the ball, he'd have three guys already out around him in pursuit. And so the guys would be right on him because you need time to set up the blockers, and you can't do that while the ball is in the air. Does that make sense?
Totally, 100%. Okay, let's talk about Patrick Mahomes now.
Yes.
You've done this Beyond the Arm series about his pocket presence and his eye level and his ball placement, and a lot of that
yep.
is stuff you've got to see with the film. So again, go read about it at The Athletic, and you can talk about any of those things that you want as we get close to wrapping up here. But the slow the hype, what could go wrong thing is what I actually want to talk to you about. Can you go ahead and make the heel turn here of what's the thing you're worried about and how
sure.
worried are you? Because I think the second part of that question is arguably more interesting.
Right. So I'll start off with the what.
Mm-hmm.
The what is, in it can be summed up in the almost interception to Demetrius Harris near the end of the game. Every now and then, not too often, but every now and then, Mahomes will trust his arm more than he should mm-hmm. or needs to.
Mm-hmm.
That almost interception to Demetrius Harris, a lot of people kept telling me, well, he threw into double coverage. No, he didn't. It was man coverage with a deep safety that actually wasn't back in time. The read was great,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little bit late. But he had, I mean, with a good throw or even an average throw, that's a touchdown.
Yep.
And the game is, like, over. Now, I don't know why he went for the kill shot on first down, but that's a whole other ball of wax. So what he did instead, though, he didn't reset even a little. And instead, falling backwards and sideways, he tried to throw the ball 60 yards in the air. And even Mahomes can't do that.
Sure.
So now it's a little different. You know, later, you know, earlier in that same drive, he made an incredible throw, you know, 30 yards in the air falling sideways.
Mm-hmm.
But you note the difference, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
you just got to figure, okay, how Superman can you be? And my one concern with him is that he trusts his arm just a bit too much. And so especially that first year, as he figures out where those limits are, you're going to see a few more of those throws. And NFL defenses often make you pay for those kinds of throws. And so that's my one concern is if he throws, let's say, two of those a game,
mm-hmm.
And only half of them get picked off, which is NFL defense. I'm telling you, they're good like that.
Mm-hmm.
They will make you pay.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking 16 picks just based on that alone. Now, the latter part of your question, how worried am I about that? I'm not that worried.
Right.
He's gone on the record saying that he knows he needs to figure that out, and he needs to dial down the aggression. He's been talking about that since he came into town. And Andy Reid keeps a pretty tight rein on his offense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think it should be, if it works out well, a very symbiotic relationship to where Andy Reid's overly controlling and conservative tendencies kind of dial down Mahomes' worst trait, whereas Mahomes' ability to push the envelope, it compensates for the fact that Andy Reid is over-controlling on the offense. You know what I mean?
Yes,
rather than,
sure.
than Alex Smith and Andy Reid kind of exacerbating the issues that they
yep.
have. Instead, it's more symbiotic in that Mahomes makes Andy Reid's offense more dynamic in those over-controlling moments, and Andy Reid's controlling offense tampers down Mahomes' youthful exuberance.
Yes, and Mahomes had a comment at the beginning of OTAs I thought was really interesting about how it's a collaborative effort, how he throws some stuff out and Reid throws some stuff out and Bieniemy and Kafka throw some things out, and then they try it, and if it works, then great, they keep it, and if it doesn't, they go back to the drawing board and tweak it. And it was descriptive of a very collaborative process that, to me, I thought was super encouraging to that end.
It tells me that Andy Reid really respects Patrick Mahomes'
yes.
brain.
Yes, agreed.
And that's And Reed knows football. No one debates that. You know, the one big thing is like, wow, Alex Smith is so smart. Andy Reid's going to really miss that. You know, he gave Alex input on the offense, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it sounds like he's doing the same thing here, which tells me that he believes Patrick Mahomes has a great brain to work with as well.
Yep.
I'm telling you, man, every sign that I've seen, it's hard not to get too positive, especially, you know, when you look at, like, the quotes from that Matt Miller article today.
Mm-hmm.
That the people on the inside are, like, borderline giddy.
Yep.
Which, for what it's worth, that's what I've heard, too. I've heard, if anything, Brett Veach's comments are almost, like, tampered down from
yes.
how they're feeling internally.
Yes, and his public comments are, like, fangirling.
It's just, they are.
It's,
I think, well, that's where, you know, Lewis Riddick is, like,
mm-hmm.
he has, like, become, like, the Mahomes number one fan.
Yes.
And, you know, he's very tightly tied to Andy Reid. I mean, people even thought that he might get the GM job.
Yep. I'm also understanding why he wanted the GM job so bad.
Yeah, no joke. Where would you think he might be getting his information
mm-hmm.
from? And that's, I mean, this is an exciting time to be a Chiefs fan. I cannot wait to do the first reviews of Mahomes, whether they're good or bad. It's just exciting.
Yes. Yes, it's just exciting. And that's the how worried are you thing, the other part of that to me that I think makes this kind of all kind of funny and just how far we've gotten, how far astray we've become, is that what if he does trust his arm too much? Oh, dang, he threw 20 picks in his rookie season. But if the positive things we see are there, then 20 interceptions are going to be, like, the least of our actual worries. Because that's something that you expect
Correct.
To get better with time. The things that don't get
yes.
better with time are your eye level and your pocket presence and your arm
yes.
strength and the ball placement.
Yes.
And he's got all of that now.
Yes, he does. There's never been – I'm actually considering writing on this. There has never been, that I can think of, a quarterback with a toolbox this large that has landed in a situation this great. When you combine the two, you can even argue that he's coming into the best quarterback situation that a young passer has ever come into. And that's easy. But then when you throw in, I don't know if a quarterback as talented as he is, I don't think it's even close. It's just, it's hard not to feel a little bit giddy. And again, you know, expectations, I mean, they're only going to continue because the hype is starting to build now. This time last year, a lot of analysts were saying, oh, we're not sure how Mahomes will do. He probably needs to sit out here. But now you got people like, oh, the hype is real.
Yep.
This is going to be huge. And that's only going to pick up, I think, from here on out.
And as you so eloquently put it, yeah, how can you not be hyped up about Patrick Mahomes' big, big toolbox? Yeah, no, that was graceful. That was gracefully said.
Thank you. I try.
Beards didn't even look up from his phone, and I thought his hand would have fallen off trying to get to the cue button to mark that. For the future, where you're talking about Patrick Mahomes' big old toolbox. Seth, it's always great to talk to you, and I love that
Absolutely.
I tried to let you slow down the hype train, and instead we just put it into overdrive again. It makes me so thoroughly happy.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm going to keep pushing the hype train because, you know, why not?
Yeah, why not?
I may actually attend training camp this year just to watch Mahomes.
Seth is in Minnesota. Yes, please do, and then if you do, we will move. We'll move land and, I was gonna say land and earth. What is the actual phrase? What's the phrase?
I'm not sure where you're
heaven
going
and
with
earth.
This, yeah.
Move heaven and earth to get
yes,
you to get you here. Yeah, to get you here to partake in a show sometime. We'll just talk on the phone, but from like 6 hours closer.
Oh, absolutely. That could be fun, too. You know, we could, like, talk to each other on the phone from across the field of training.
That would be perfect. I'd like to maintain that distance. Seth, always great to talk to you. Thanks for making the time and for naming your kids normal things.
Thanks for having me, Josh. Take care.
Seth Kaiser, you know at this point, but he's writing for The Athletic, and we didn't get to everything he's written about since the last time we talked to him. So please go subscribe to The Athletic, and you will not be disappointed with the content you're getting there. Obviously, you can follow him on Twitter, at RealMNChiefsFan, and get everything there. Just search Seth Kaiser. Like, you should know by now. Honestly, at this point, you should know. You should know about Seth, and you should know about what he thinks about Patrick Mahomes' big toolbox. My goodness.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Everybody in this building's got a side hustle.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Why can't my side hustle be selling drugs? If I'm doing it safely.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Is this the... Yep. The Lou Bega song. That's fine. That's fine. The song is fine. Rashad said in the comments while we were talking to Seth, he says, give the king, the kid, ooh, king, Freudian slip, give the kid a chance before crowning him better than Tom Brady. Mahomes didn't throw one touchdown against a Denver team, a bad Denver team. It's a team sport. That's why Peyton Manning played 700 years and only won 2 Super Bowls. He needed help. I'm with you on that. Part of the reason that I'm cool with the no touchdown against the Broncos is because it's a team sport, and he was playing with his number one running back being Anthony Sherman. His number one receiver in that game was, I think Demetrius Harris and DeMarcus Robinson played in that game.
I think it was Harris.
I mean, I think both of those guys were out
Yeah.
But it was Demetrius Harris and DeMarcus Robinson and like Jehu Chesson. No, I think Demetrius Harris was his number one receiver in that game by the end of it. But just like as far as his options, it was Anthony Sherman and Demetrius Harris and like Jehu Chesson.
They brought Dwayne Bowe back for that game. That's how bad it was. Also, I coughed during Bowe.
I mean, just mark it and add that to the Beards coughs mid word. Because it doesn't sound like a cough. That's what's so strange about it. It just sounds like you've run out of air. It's just like a little puff of air. Like, you know when they blow a little puff of air in your eyes at, like, eye appointments or whatever? People always complain about that. That's what
no.
I assume it sounds like. I assume it sounds like you saying Bo. They brought Dwayne back.
They did.
So, yeah. I mean, listen. It's the traits are there. We're looking at those traits. Oh, Eric said Albert Wilson was his number one receiver. Albert Wilson also out there for that game. Good call. Forgot about him because now he's in Miami. Also, Anita has asked about the Grumpy Cat. I think Grumpy Cat's in the back of my car. I forgot to check again. So I think we're at 3 days of no Grumpy Cat, and I'm sorry. It's not on purpose. I didn't kill the Grumpy Cat. I took it out of my bag when I was going to the sporting game because I didn't want to have to carry around a stuffed kitten. So I took it out, and then I think it got thrown into my back seat at some point. Beard's also forgot about Dick Justice and Goatee.
Yep.
I think you probably forgot yesterday also.
I did.
I just didn't bring up Grumpy Cat. Sorry. I'm sorry. All right, let's do headlines.
Is the orphan ready? Urchin.
Orphan. Let's,
urchin.
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 Urchin. Hey.
Ooh, he's not looking good.
Give him an M&M. But like a green one.
Do we have any?
No, I don't have any.
Oh, well, you're just going to have to get up here and do it yourself, bud.
Headlines! I've got headlines over here! Do you want a headline? I've got plenty of them! Got breaking news here! Hey, you! You! You want some breaking news? What about you, old lady?
If you don't know, whenever we get to a point in the show where you want to check out the headlines, what's going on around the world, we do this. I'll read a headline, then Beards will tell me if he's interested or not, if he wants to click the headline or not. I can't overrule him, but I try not to. First headline here from ESPN.com, Delaware to offer sports betting Tuesday.
No.
I'm clicking it, actually.
Okay.
I didn't know this. Because this is Tuesday, very, very soon.
Tuesday feels like an arbitrary day.
Well, it's just soon.
Yes, that's also fair.
Delaware to offer sports betting now that ban is lifted. Delaware will begin offering Las Vegas-style sports betting at its 3 casinos on Tuesday, becoming the first state to open for business since the United States Supreme Court struck down the federal ban on state-sponsored sports gambling 3 weeks ago. That's all. That's a good headline.
Hey, you! Mister! You need some news! I've got news here! Just ask me, please! I need to give out news!
Pac R.B. Jones lauded for airport act of kindness.
Eh.
Are you interested with the act of kindness is a little bit?
Okay, fine.
Packers running back Aaron Jones surprised to learn his airport good deed went viral. He pushed an old lady in a wheelchair.
Like, pushed her to the ground?
No, to where she wanted to go.
Darn.
That's the whole story.
Oh, no, that's better. Yes, good. Good.
Hey, you! You need some news! Come get the news from me!
Serena drops first set, beats Barty at French.
No.
Here's another headline!
Tiger overcomes stiff back for 72, quote, no biggie.
Who's tired of the news? Do you want a headline instead?
Pats to critics, losing no fun, so we're happy.
Hey! You look like you haven't been paying attention to the news lately. Do you need a newspaper? I bet you do. Here's one. Take it. No. Why are you giving it back?
Cavs Lou says he's being treated for anxiety. I don't know that. I didn't know that.
I'm just going to like, okay.
Oh, he did take that medical leave of absence. Absence? Yeah, he took a leave of absence two months ago.
And man, Kevin Love.
That's the cause of your problem. Don't take a leave of absence. Chest pains, coughing up blood when he left the team in March. Diet change and medication have helped. Well, that's good. That feels like a good thing.
Yeah.
It seems like he's handling it. It's not like that's something that he's currently being treated for right now. But that played into it. That makes sense. That's good. Sounds like he's doing good. That's good.
I don't even know what a newspaper is, but I know where to get all my news right here.
Keith Laws 2018 MLB Mock Draft 3.0.
News!
Nurse who set off fire alarm to see colleague's breasts bounce as she ran down the corridor is facing end of his career.
Yes!
I think there's a decent chance that's a fake story.
That's okay. That'll be our new bit of this segment. It's news story that might be fake that is still really funny. Or that's kind of believable.
News!
A woman named Crystal Methvin was charged with drug possession. Guess which kind?
Cocaine!
This is from the Miami Herald. This is a real news story.
I thought it was the Star.
The Star also tweeted it.
Oh, okay. That's where I saw it from.
But she was arrested in Florida.
That also makes a ton of sense.
Would you like more information?
Yes,
would you like
please.
To find out what kind of drug Crystal Methvin was caught with?
Adderall. Heroin. Alcohol.
Crystal meth.
Damn.
Those are the headlines.
All right, Urchin. All right, you can go back to your cupboard. We'll feed you next week.
Man, I equal parts do and don't want that one story to be true.
Which one?
The one about Keith Law's mock draft.
Too early?
No, 3.0. The draft is on Monday, I think.
Oh. Wait, which draft are we talking about?
The MLB mock draft.
Oh, definitely don't care. I can be fake.
No, I think it's... again, I understand, you know, why we both do and don't want that story to be true. Because I don't like that Serena Williams dropped the first set while beating Barty at the French. Another just sweeper. How is the Archon holding up?
He's looking a little ragged.
We don't want him to die.
No, but it's been a while since we fed him last.
Do we have... Is there something around... Oh, there was some barbecue here earlier. Oh, Urchin, you just missed it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, maybe there's some cauliflower left, Urchin.
You know, that copy of Doom is still in there. I don't think he's touched it yet.
Come on, eat that copy of Doom.
No, play it.
Oh.
Oh, he doesn't have anything to play it on. Well, if you stare at it really hard, Urchin, you can imagine.
Instead, he's using it as a mirror to see his...
How dirty he is.
Dirty,
how
dusty. Dirty, his dirty, dusty
that's a,
face.
That's a dusty cupboard in there.
I'll tell you what, Urchin. There's a big block of cheese in the bottom drawer of the refrigerator in the break room.
Is it really?
It's an enormous block of cheese. It's been there for a long time. And I think I might have seen mold on it. Urchin, cheese is mold. You can just go ham. No pun intended.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Holy bleep.
He's crawled under the door.
That was like a 3-340. What burst? No bend, though. He's basically D-Ford.
Oh, he's coming back. There's a very sad look on his face.
Oh, what's the problem?
I don't think there was cheese there.
No, I'm not making that. There is. Urchin, I'm dead serious.
Oh, he's gone again.
No, he's Tasmanian deviling the cheese.
I hear munching.
All right, good. Well, I want to make sure that he can stick around, because also we're going into a weekend, and I'm not coming in here. I will be at the station at one point Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
For baseball and soccer duties, I will not go out of my way to feed him.
Nah.
So hopefully he knows that big block of cheese is down there. It may be covered in the mold. It's just every time it gets me. It's just such a good headline.
You thought it was marijuana, didn't you?
What?
Headlines.
Yeah, no, I was reading the mock draft.
Oh, that's what you were reading. Okay.
Yeah, what did you think was interesting? Wow, look at who the Royals are getting at 18.
Who?
Seven. I don't know. It's an insider article, and I can't read it. Get out of here.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
What a dumb show.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
During the break, Beards and I were discussing what the best show shirts would be. And having one that's a full-on design for the Sin City Testaments with the tagline, "Can I Get a Witness?" That's really high up there.
It's really good.
That's something I could also do. Like, I might just do that.
It's just like a quarterback jersey with the number 7 on it.
The number should be 12 probably, right?
Also good.
12 is a very biblical number.
Seven days.
Seven, yeah. That's pretty good also. I want the name on the back to just say Michael the Archangel. But also, like, getting a, you know, listen, Urchin's still out in the break room, right? Just mauling any scraps in there.
No, he's not listening.
Getting him on his shirt would be funny. I would enjoy that. Unfortunately, Dick Justice is, I think, the name on the back of the jersey would be Justice. Because that's both biblical enough and also a show reference.
Fair.
So that would have to happen. Front of the shirt, even if that might even just be the thing. Even if we want to take suggestions. If you have any suggestions, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe or leave comments on the Facebook page for what a show shirt would be best served as. Logo on the front and then the back being Justice and then something under like for whatever number it would be.
Mm-hmm.
The number could be like, it could be 4-6 for when the
That's
show
good.
Is on.
That's pretty good too.
You know, like kerned pretty closely together. So it looks like just 46 until you see the dash in there.
That's fair.
Is Justice the best name to put back? Or can we put Dick Justice? No, I don't think we can. Because you can't wear that in public. You can't wear a shirt in public that says Dick Justice whenever you don't know that that's the name of a wiener dog.
It never will not make me laugh.
I know. It's funny. It's good. But I don't know if that...
We need a couch shirt as well.
The couch is still something that I think, like, that doesn't really come to fruition until we have, like, a studio,
couch.
Some studio power to get a couch in the studio.
Also fair.
Yeah. I think that's what we need
or
for
Or just,
that.
Like, ESPN Kansas City swap meet 4-6 weekdays.
It's so confusing and dumb and not helping us at all, but also, like, fair and accurate in what this show is. We'll take suggestions. I'd like to continue to get suggestions on what the show could be. What's the thing that's the most synonymous with the show? Couch is a good inside joke.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Justice is up there.
Your Twitter handle.
Oh, I do like that. I like putting my Twitter handle on the back of the jersey. That's pretty good. I might do that anyway. Oh, who's Dick Justice? Oh, you don't. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.